Welcome to One in Christ, where the radiant story of Jesus come to life.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Glad to see Iona back. Amen. Because, for those of you who don't know, Our Lady Iona had the fell. So I'm so glad to see you back here. We are going to continue our series of the Psalm of Ascent. This is the second one, Psalm 121, is a very short one, as all the Psalms of Ascent. This series from 120 all the way to 134 are the collection of psalms when the Jewish people, when the Israelites, went to Jerusalem three times a year to sing, especially for the men, and any adult man to go to Jerusalem three times a year to sing those songs, 15 of them, because in the Jerusalem is on the hill. When they go up to sing those songs, and the songs were called the Psalms of Ascent, or Psalms of Degrees. So that's how they got their names. And it's a journey for them from here all the way to Jerusalem. And we can use them as a spiritual journey for all of us. 15 lessons for all of us to learn. The last time we spent the whole 40, 50 minutes just to set you up for the journey. In order to start a journey or desire to have a journey, you want to have some destination you want to go. If you don't want to go somewhere, you're not going to start anything. If I want to Labor Day, I want you to go to Richmond with me. Lots of people will say that is really boring because of 2.5 hours there, 2.5 hours back. There's nothing going on in Richmond. Unless I tell you there's something exciting and great and appealing for you to go, then we're going to have a journey. So 120, basically, the last half of it shows that there is a place that I belong somewhere not on this earth. So we give you a thing called a heavenly homesickness. You really want to go somewhere where the Lord is present, the presence of God, the city of Jerusalem, the promise, His presence over there. So you really want to go there, you desire to go there, then you're going to start your journey. The spiritual journey is not going to be an easy one, as you know. We, as Christians, if you are called Christians in the name of the Lord, if you live in this world, you're going to find this world is not very friendly to you. You don't know it until you live your Christian way, the life, until you preach the gospel to people. People won't like it. And the life journey itself, it's not that easy. When I give the example, is anybody doing computer science these days now? I mean, you're still doing it? Okay, all right. Engineering and stuff like those, no one's doing it? Oh, you're doing it? Okay. All right, I just heard a podcast. That lady, she's in the Silicon Valley. She's in the 20s and 30s. She graduated from somewhere like a Carnegie Mellon or something, like a big computer science kind of school. And when she graduated in 2019, she got a 3 or 4 job offers in her hand. I mean, everything is in Silicon Valley. You start like $200,000 to start with. She was just so happy. That was before what? Before 2020, when the pandemic hit. Right? I don't want you to remind what happened in the last couple of years. Now she lost the job because her job was replaced by the AI. AI is replacing everything. A lot of things are being replaced. And look at, it took just about 6 years before the whole thing turned around. The life is uncertain. The life journey is uncertain. You think this career will give you stability, your strength, and a stable income. Before you know it, you're going to lose your income. And you have the mortgage, you have everything, you have a dad and mom you take care of, the kids you take care of, and you basically got stuck. You think your job, your career, your health, your relationship, your kids, and everything that to give you the stability, and before you know it, is not as stable as you think. So the life journey, life is uncertain, full of uncertainties and dangers and everything else. And now you're getting older and older. You're going to find that there are so many things you cannot control. If you're single, you know, if you go home, you sleep, and you eat, that's all your life. Now you have married. Now you have kids. Now you have a mom and dad. Now your kids going out, start driving. Now you start worrying about their driving things, insurance, and then everything else. So once you get older, your life is more and more unstable. So if it's a spiritual journey and a life journey, you are going to need help to figure out what the life is all about. So that's the introduction to the Psalm 121. Psalm 121 shows you, when you get on the spiritual journey, how to deal with the source of help and protection. This is what we're going to focus on today. Let me read Psalm 121. A lot of people know this psalm. It's a very famous psalm. But I'm going to remind you what it says in the 8 verses. Let me read it, then we pray. The Son of Ascent, Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out, your coming in, from this time forth and forevermore. Father, we come to you again. We come here to ask for your help, to help to understand your word, to help us with opening our eyes to see the author behind those words. Lord, we want to know you, we want to see you, and we want to love you, we want to follow you. Lord, open our eyes so that we have the wisdom. Thank you, and bless our time together, and we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. If you pay attention to those 8 verses, the couple of words have been repeatedly appearing in those words. Verse 1 and 2, the word that has been repeated a couple of times is what? Verse 1 and verse 2 is help. So he's talking about, I lift my eyes to the hills, from where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made the heaven and earth. So very simple. It's not that hard to understand this word. But I want to ask 3 questions when we come to the first point of the help. What kind of help are we talking about? So if we think the help is the kind of help that we always talk about on the street, you're probably wrong. So what kind of a help are we talking about on the street? So say, I'm still planning to go to Richmond on Labor Day, but my car broken down, and I can't do it, and all cars in my house broken down. But I still determined to go to Richmond. I come to Patrick. I got a new car. He's shaking his head. Okay, I'll go to your wife. Well, they have a car. Can you help me? Give me a ride for me to go to Richmond. So when we talk about help, that's the help we're talking about. I have agenda. I have a goal. I want to do something. I have lacking. I need some help to reach my goal. That's the help we are thinking about all the time. That's not the help in Psalm 121. That's like, please, you know, I pay you or something. This is not the help Psalm 121 is talking about. Why? Because when it talks about the source of the help, he says the help's coming from the Lord. It's not just some kind of a Lord. It's the creator of heaven and earth. The Lord that give you help is not some kind of good person to give you a ride to Richmond. He is in control of everything, including your dream, your agenda, and your goal. So when you ask for help, it's not ask God to help you achieve your personal goal. You know, I don't want to die in the next 30 years. God, I know you are good. Keep me from dying or from losing my money and losing my house and losing my health and losing my wealth. Lord, I have agenda. Help me. No, that's not the kind of help Psalm 121 is talking about, because this Lord that you seek help from is the creator of heaven and earth, which means he controls everything from heaven, from earth. Your life is from him. Your destiny is from him. So when you ask help from the Lord, you basically give your life to the Lord. Lord, I don't know how to figure out this journey. I don't know what to do. You set up your agenda because you're a good God. I want to follow you. You help me go through the journey, but I just want to fix my eyes on you. That's the help that we're talking about, Psalm 121. Otherwise, you can turn the whole psalm to be the most self-centered psalm you can ever imagine. You know, it was only verse 1 and 2. The rest of the psalms are talking about, God, keep me from this, keep me from that. I'm coming in, I'm going out, everything. You just basically block all the evils, and I'm just, you know, be a good person. Or I just have a very smooth, successful life. That's not what this psalm is all about. So the help, this is the first question we ask, is what kind of help is this? That's so important. Give your life to him. So where to go to seek help, you know? The psalm is answered that question. It's from the Lord, not from the hills. So we lift up my eyes to the hills, and there's two different explanations, but the focus is I'm not looking to the hills for help. The hills, usually in the scripture, represents a stability and a strength. I mean, I don't know, for the older people, and I'm getting there. Probably my hills are more like a 401k. Even you're talking about retirement. Ying is talking about retirement after he got his professorship. And the next thing you want to think about is how to get out of that position so that I can enjoy your life, right? Something like those. So some of you have retired already. Thank the Lord for it. I don't know what your hills are, what your dependence, what your stability is coming from. It's good for the whole government system to give us a kind of like a 401k and out of all the insurance and the social security and all those type of things. But you know what? They can help you with your life, but they will not provide the security for you ultimately. Those are the hills. Those are the things, the good things that can provide some good things for us. But ultimately, verse 1 and 2 telling us when we lift our eyes to the hills and we're still seeking, what's the ultimate source of my help? And this is the Lord who created heaven and earth. So the Psalter is challenging us to switch our eyes from the hills, whatever they are, your career, the beauty, your health, your relationship, your dad and mom, your car, your mortgage, whatever they are. They challenge us to shift our eyes from the hills to the Lord and give everything that we have to him, so that we can depend on him. So that's the second question. How do we know the help will be available? And we talk about that already, because he is the creator of heaven and earth. But come to that point, come back again. If you think your life is in your own hand, especially for those young, ambitious, driven people. If you think your life is in your hand, you are going to live a very anxious life because you are trying to make sure I'm getting into the right career, I'm marrying the right boys, the right girl, I'm going to the right city. I can't mess up my life because those things, the decision that you're making is going to determine, quote unquote, determine the direction of your life. And you cannot make any decisions because you don't know which one is right and which one is wrong. So that's why so many people don't want to get married anymore, because it's a lifetime commitment. And the life is really challenging. So people don't make decisions and or they mess up your life. It's too hard. They want to deal with the life with some other stuff, like alcohol, like a drug, and like those type of things. So if you think your life is in your own hand, and you can help yourself to figure out your life, you will be living in a very anxious life. And the verse 1 and 2 of Psalm 121 give you a reminder that the help is coming from the Lord who has created heaven and earth. So very, very calming, encouraging, and give a peace. We have not done yet. That is only verse 1 and verse 2. We're going to expand a little more time in the rest of the verses. So that's the first word, help. The second word that's been repeated in this the verses is protect, or your NIV use a keep. So let me read it again. So verse 3, he will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep you alive. The Lord will keep your going out, your coming in, from his time forth and forevermore. 6 times. Keep, 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 keep. The protection, the protector. Okay. Just by looking at it, if you're not paying too much attention, or if you don't even know very little about the rest of the Bible, and do you take this as the promise God gave you, you're probably thinking, okay, all right. So they didn't say any conditions. If I do this, God will keep me. That's it. God will promise and he will do this unconditionally. How does that mean? Meaning day and night, meaning the whole day, 24/7. Okay, coming in, coming out, going in. So start from the journey start point to the end point. Okay, the whole journey, 24/7, forevermore, all the time. Wow. So if you are a Christian, or not even the condition, the Lord promised me a very smooth, successful, accident-free life. Wow, that's such a great time. You're not even having a joyful heart. Is that good? Sun, moon, in, out, forever, more. And God does not slumber. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't have, a nap or anything. He watches you all the time, no matter what. He's going to keep you. He's going to protect you. Nothing's going to hurt you. Isn't that good? It's really, really good. Is that good? But it's far from reality, right? I mean, if you've been a Christian for a while, if you haven't watched people's life, if you read your Bible, okay, you've seen a lot of faithful Christians have troubles. People being betrayed. People being murdered or killed, misled, have a troubled life. Some of you had, and you had a car accident. I mean, it almost took his life. Did God say that he's going to keep you? You said, oh, I was speeding. They didn't say that God will not help protect you if you're speeding. God is going to keep you. God is to help you. So I put the challenge right in front of you. If you are in the camp, so-called the word of faith kind of camp, you're saying, If you're in trouble, that means you are not faithful. You're not trust the Lord enough. The Lord is giving you something to give you a lesson. Or people will say, the Bible is a metaphorical. It's just giving you an impression God is good, but it didn't really mean it. It's just saying that, you know, God is good, but you know, life is life. God is God. You know, Monday to Saturday, it's all about real life. Sunday is, you know, worship time kind of thing. So people get confused about this. If you read Psalm 91, it's basically the same thing. There are so many good things said about what God would do to the people, but it's so far from reality. So how can we make sense out of it? How do we make sense out of it? Again, we're going to ask some questions. Who is protecting? Now we know it's the Lord. The Lord is not just a Lord or God. He's saying this Lord is the protector of Israel. Okay? Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. So when the Bible talks about L-O-L-A-D, the capital, L-O-L-A-D, is actually the word Jehovah. And that name of the Lord is a covenantal name. It's not just the generic God name. It's a covenantal name. Meaning what? Meaning God has made the covenant with his people. The Lord is not just some kind of a God somewhere. He has a covenantal relationship with his people. We have finished the book of Genesis already. God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I mean, their lives are ups and downs. God has made a promise to them in chapter 12, all the way 15, and with each of the patriarchs. Their lives are all over the places. They sin, they have issues, they have problems. But the end of Genesis, you have seen, I have shown you, whatever God has promised in Genesis 12, when God called Abraham out of Ur, has been partially, at least some of them, partially fulfilled. God has kept his promise for so many years. And God has kept a promise. When the time comes, God sent his only begotten son, died on the cross. We know all that. If you look back, God is a God of covenant. So when God, when Psalm 121 saying the Lord, the Jehovah, or Yahweh, is the Lord is going to protect you. He's saying that the God is the God of God of covenant, and he's a faithful God. He will do it. So it's not some kind of God to make a promise like you and me. I will be there. I will be right there. You will never be there. That kind of a promise. No, no, no. God is covenantal God. So who is this protecting? God is protecting. And how does he do it? How does he do it? I mean, this is all comprehensive. I mentioned it already. From in and out all the time and from everything, from the sun, from the moon, from everything. So how he did the protect it? All the time, 24/7 protection. All right. The last question. That's a key question to understand those promises. Protecting what? So in English, you use the word, I protect you from something. I protect you from Peter. You know, so I'm really protecting you, but protecting the hurt or the evil things that Peter is trying to do to you. That's what I'm protecting you from. So the word over here, protect, has some kind of implications going on there. So the Lord is protecting his people from, that's a key word over there, from all evils. So the suns and the moons, even the enemies, even the stumble of your feet, are they evil? They could be, if you let them. I mean, those pilgrims, when they go up to the city of Jerusalem, I mean, they don't have a shelter. I mean, in the summer, I mean, they go there spring, summer, and the fall. In the summer, it's very hot. At night, they don't have a police officer. I mean, they don't have a road like what we have. They have bandits. They have a robber. They have a robbery going on there. They have some danger going on there. So for them, the journey is full of danger. But the danger could come to them, not necessarily as evil. The sun and the moon and all this danger that could happen to them, sometimes and most of the times, if you have a rough time, rough moment in your life, that rough moment might not necessarily be the evil one. I mean, you have all those experiences before. If you have a rough time, all of a sudden you start treasuring life. I mean, I had, this is my dream. This is my dream. The rough time I dreamed about, okay? Then I woke up and then my life was totally renewed. Let me tell the dream. It's a very bloody bad dream. You probably have dreamed them before. I mean, I don't know. That was almost a year ago. I dreamed that my family, whole family, was slaughtered. Everyone. Brutal death. I don't remember the details, but it was just scary, bloody, brutal. It's really, really bad. I was crying. I don't know what happened. And someone came in, just killed everybody. I was the only one who survived. I was so scared. I woke up and I saw my wife, a doctor. She's still breathing. I was so happy. I was so happy. I was so happy. That's just the dream. Those type of things, if you allow them to get into your heart, they can turn you into a very bitter, very angry, or very bad person. Or you can like me, you can be like me. When you come back to see, no, it's actually not that bad at all. The whole experiences, I mean, that's a dream, so that's not the real, but the whole experiences turn you into a very joyful, very strong, a strong in faith kind of a person. You have a life, a rough time, most of you, if I know some of you, you have been through some rough times in your life. Those sunlight can turn the clay into a very hard clay to the soil, or can turn the candle into a wax. There's nothing about the sunlight that's being evil or not. It's about that particular person. What kind of a person you are to make those things evil or not. I mean, if we use the illustration as the boat in the sea, okay? You're riding the boat as a journey to somewhere. You are surrounded by all the waters of all ocean. They're dangerous. They're only dangerous when the water gets into your boat. Your ship will not sink if the waters are kept out. But hey, you're allowed to get into all the dangers. Danger that potentially could sink your ship, but only the water becomes evil and become harmful if we allow that water to get in there, get into your ship. So God is promising that He is going to protect us from all evil. Yes, you are going to go through some rough time. The sunlight, the moonlight, but God is going to protect them from getting into your life, to turn your life into a bitter and harder and a very unfaithful person. And God is going to use all those circumstances to turn you to become a faithful person, because we do have a promise. And I actually quoted in length in the Mandarin service in Romans 8, I can't quote in English. I'm working on it. But you know Romans 8, starting from 31 all the way to 39. God has the promise through his Son that nothing is going to separate us from the love of God. Nothing, nothing, nothing at all. The death, the life, the things to come, the things to go, the angels, the might, the people, nothing is going to separate us from the love of God. Yes, the love of God stays. The protection is over there. But take a look at what Paul has said in Romans 8. You are going to go through, he's assuming that you're going to go through all the life journey that you would go through at other people and the neighbors. Maybe you're a little bit more fortunate, maybe not. But then nothing is going to take you away from the love of God. If you are looking for a very smooth and very successful life without any tough moment, that could be a bad thing because your life has never grown, have never experienced something that's really God promised that they're going to give through those tough times. So, yes, we still take those words literally. God is going to protect us. But it's going to protect us from all evils coming from the rough time. Yes, you and I will go through the problems, the rough times we have to go through, but he's going to protect us from the evil that's going to occur in our life. So, 121 is to set up a journey for us. 120 is to give us motivation to start the journey. But once we get on this life journey, which is sometimes lonely, God gives us two things that I want you to go back to read in those eight verses throughout this week. God is going to help you. The help this might not be the help that you're looking for. The help is coming from the creator of heaven and earth. And it's God is going to protect you, not protect you from every bad things that happen to you, is protect the bad things that can cause evil in your heart. Protect you from all evils in your life. And he has a promise in Romans 8 that nothing is going to separate us from his love. Those are the things that you probably need to keep in mind before you sin against God. Yes, life is a trouble. And the life is very challenging, and some of you are going through that right now. You feel lonely. You feel like you don't want to go on anymore. You feel like you want to quit. And I'm honest to you, and I want to quit all the time. Quit everything, basically. All the time. I don't know if you have the same thing and the same kind of feeling. Yes, I put a smile on my face. But it's not my strength and my might or my ability, or my talent, to keep me going. It is the Lord. He put me in all kind of situations just to show me who he is. He's the Lord of who created heavens and earth. And I want you to have the same experiences as I do. That's Psalm 21. It's a very short, devotion-driven. There's not a whole lot of interpretation going on. But I just want you to know those things that you need to pay attention to. The help and what kind of help you were talking about and what is he protecting you from. And let's pray. Father, we come to you again. The short eight verses, that's full of promises that you give us. And we are more fortunate than the people in old time. We have your Son who shed the blood already, who gave us a promise. He gave us a down payment for the mortgage that we is going to inherit. The down payment is his blood, and he said, this is the blood I use to make a covenant with me. Oh Lord, you promised that you are going to keep us. You're going to protect us. And you said nothing is going to take us from your hand. Oh, Lord, give us this assurance that we belong to you. We don't belong to this world anymore. Oh, yes, the Lord is one. The world is trying to get us, to make us like them, to take our peace, take our assurance, take our joy, make us depressed, anxious, insomnia. Oh, Lord, you don't sleep, you don't slumber, so that we can have a good sleep at night. And don't worry too much about what's going to hold tomorrow, because you're the one who holds tomorrow. Oh, Lord, give us this peace and joy in you. And we pray for those people who are going through the anxiety, anxious about their life, their job, their relation, the marriage, the kids, their immigration status, and everything, their health, their wealth, and their house, their kids. Lord, everything is in your hands, and you are good God. As we go through the spiritual journey, yes, we face all the challenges, the frustrations, the disappointment, but you are good God. And you protect us, and you keep us, and help us. Lord, thank you very much for the promises you give in Psalm 121. As we come back next time, we're going to go through the journey. And thank you, and we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Please subscribe if you like our content. One in Christ is a multi-ethnic church. You're more than welcome to join us and to worship our Lord together. And we'd like to hear your unique stories with Jesus in the future.